Blog Talk Radio.
Wait a second. No, I've got it. Plug in. God. Welcome to Tuesday. This is Dr. John Sani. Glad everybody's here. We've got our two co-hosts, and we are waiting on our guest for the evening who will be here just shortly. So anyway, live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and tonight we have Kyler Smith. How are you doing tonight, Kyler?
Hey, man, I'm doing awesome. We had some great weather today. I'm actually just walking outside.
Well, good. I'm glad you are. And glad you're having a good time down there in beautiful, sunny Houston. And Matt Delph, how are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Excited about tonight's show.
Well, I am too.
We've got a great guest.
Pardon me?
It's been cold here, though. It's been snowing all day.
Really?
Yeah. High, I think it was right around 33, 36, somewhere around there.
Oh, okay. Well, it was cold here in Myrtle Beach, but that's okay. Anyway, glad to have everybody here. So, Matt, we're going to be talking about the Honey Island Monster. Why don't you give us a little bit of background so that all of our listeners can know a little bit about it?
All right. Well, the Honey Island Swamp Monster, it's in Louisiana. It is about an hour east of New Orleans. They've had sightings just decades through the swamp. And there was a man, his name was Harlan Ford. He was a hunter, and he had come across it, and he was finding these tracks, these four-toed tracks, and he was making cast, and then he actually had a run-in with it, and years later, after he had passed away, his granddaughter, Dana Holyfield, she started researching it, and they was going through his old stuff, and they had found a 8mm film that was filmed in the 70s. He had actual film of it, and you can see this being creature on two legs walking through the swamp there, and so that kind of took off her research and trying to follow in his footsteps. But through the years, people have had encounters with this thing deep in the swamps. So if you've been in the swamps, then it is so thick. A lot of people, you don't want to be in there at nighttime. So it's hard telling what all other kinds of stuff, especially with Louisiana, as the swamp, the voodoo stuff, and everything else that goes along with that, the rougarou. You've got all kinds of stuff going on down there. But
all
I'm
right,
kind of curious.
Tell us a little bit about the rougarou, because that's something that we hear a lot about, and I don't think many people really know what the rougarou is.
Well, you've got different versions. Some people believe it's the, of course, it's the loup-garou, the French version. It's like a werewolf. A lot of people believe you're cursed, and that's how you get changed into it. But it's basically just like the dog man or werewolf of modern times, just named differently, I think. But a little bit more since it's in the southern Louisiana, I think there's more to it with the superstition and the black magic and the voodoo, that somebody was cursed. And I forget how you break the curse. but it will. They've had encounters, and a lot of people just, you know, a man transforming into a wolf, and basically just kind of your modern day werewolf, but he's been cursed. But I'm not real sure on what the superstition or the folklore that goes with, you know, how you become it, other than being cursed, and how you get rid of it.
I think that's basically how it happens, you know, when you look at legend and lore, it has to do with a curse. So, I mean,
right.
You know, that is very interesting. Now, you say it's about an hour west of New Orleans?
It's an hour east of New Orleans. As you first come across through Mississippi. Yes. Yes.
So we're talking about something but it's in Louisiana, correct?
Yes, in the swamps down there. They got a Honey Island Swamp Tours. They've got all kinds of different, like, you know, stuff that goes on there. They do tours through there. You got people that they try and debunk it. It's just basically legend, pretty much. But so many people have seen it down there that
really, you say so many people
yeah,
have seen
just,
it.
But you can't, you know. So go ahead.
No. So what I was saying is there are a lot of recurring stories of this creature, correct?
Correct. I know, I believe Harlan's son, is Dana's dad, was one time in a boat at night, and I believe he thought he hit a log or something, and he hit, then it come up out of the water, and it was covered in hair, and had come out. But what's interesting to me is these four-toed tracks that they make these casts of. Well, the in the Everglades, David Shealy, his skunk ape has a four-toed track. So I'm thinking along the lines, these things are very similar, if not the same species, of what's the skunk ape in the Everglades. You got the swamps, you got, you know, the right conditions. And so I believe that's got a lot to do with this type of creature. I believe it lives in the swamps. The vegetation, it can stay hidden. A lot of people promote the odor with it. That could be, you know, the odor associated with this creature. So our guest is getting ready to call in here.
Okay, that's great. Well, this is interesting. So it, what's very interesting is the thing. Now, how tall is this creature supposed to be?
Well, I've heard different reports. I've heard some say 8 foot tall. I've heard some people say about 6 foot. But it's typically a little bit smaller than your normal Bigfoot. These usually range in between the 6 to 8 foot. And as you know, some of these Pacific Northwest and up in Canada and stuff, those things, we've heard stories of 10 to 12 foot. But this seems to be a little bit smaller than your typical Bigfoot. But it kind of, these tracks that she made, kind of makes you wonder if it's not, it's toes. It kind of reminds you of similar to like something that would have a webbed foot. I'm not sure, though. Because it's got claws. You can see the claws in these casts. I think I put a picture on our advertisement page of her grandfather holding the cast. He's got several casts. As you can see, these four-toed things. But it's got a heel. You can see the heel in the cast. I'm curious if they have dermal ridges.
Well, okay. Oh, and it looks like we have a caller in from a very interesting area code. Is this Dana?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Dana, this is Dr. John with ScaryCast. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, pretty good.
We are glad to speak. We're glad to have you on tonight. We've got Matt Delf and Kyler Smith. And so I guess what I'd like to do is I'd like for you to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about the reason we got you here is because of that very famous Honey Island monster. So tell us a little bit about your involvement and your family's involvement with it and get us started on that. Would that be okay?
Sure. The Honey Island Swamp Monster is a creature that people believe lives out in the Honey Island Swamp, which is in Louisiana, southern Louisiana. And my grandfather was the first eyewitness to report a sighting back in the 1974 after he had found some unusual tracks when he, that's actually the first time he saw it was in 63 when he was out there with his hunting buddy, Billy Mills. They were going on a camping trip and they had, were in a trail heading towards where they were building the camp. They come upon this thing that was down on all fours. At first they thought it was a hog rutting around, and then when it heard their voices, it stood up and turned around and faced them on 2 feet. And it was, my grandfather stood 6'4", and he said this was taller than he was. It was probably around 7 foot, and he said it looked at him straight in the face, and they went to grab their guns out of their cases because they didn't know what it was going to do. And it took off running, and then, so that happened in 63, but then as the years went by, he later found the tracks in the same area, and he poured plaster castings, and then he got in touch with the wildlife fisheries. He knew a guy that worked for wildlife and fisheries to come and look at the tracks, see if he could identify them, and then from there, just a lot of interest got, you know, like they had, I think he'd sent it to the LSU department, zoology department. The local media eventually got a hold of, people wanted to do a story, a local newspaper writer. And from there, after that, he got contacted by the show In Search Of that Leonard Nimoy did years ago. And that's how, I guess, the legend got started, like people started talking about the Honey Island Swamp Monster. And then, but he kept going out there with, he always took his camera after that. He had an 8mm camera, and he always would take it with him just in case he would have, you know, I guess, see it. Plus he got interested in photographs and the wildlife. And we didn't really know about the 8mm film until he died in 1980, and then years later when I was working on my documentary film, my grandmother brought out this box of old films, and she's like, she had that one film that was labeled Honey Island Swamp Monster. She said, I don't know what's on here, but you know, you might want to look at it. And she had the old projector, and we got it out, put it up, got the film on the wall, and so we could watch right then and there what was on it. And that's when we discovered that he actually captured footage of something that was walking upright on 2 feet that would look big and hairy. You know, he was way up in a tree blind. And so we didn't know he had that till, you know, what I asked her, why do you think he didn't come forth with this film footage? And she thought it was probably because when he first went out and talked to, like, the wildlife and fisheries, and word got out, then he said, after they put him on In Search Of, it became like monster mania around. People went crazy and started wanting to go shoot anything that moved out in the swamp. Like, people come from all over to go hunt it down. And he was afraid people were going to get shot, you know, shoot each other by accident. he didn't want them to shoot this thing because he became very interested in trying to find out more about it. And so I guess I kind of got off.
I mean, and that's, you know, that's what a lot of folks said, like Christopher Davis in his Lizard Man sighting. He said he didn't want to come forward because he didn't want to be ridiculed. A lot of people did, but a lot of people believed him. And that began in 1988, what they called Lizard Mania. It was a huge, I mean, that was truly the, I think, the most viral and biggest thing that ever happened in the news prior to the internet. So, I mean, you know, that's the way things like this do happen. And, you know, he probably just didn't want the heat. He didn't want to, you know, have people ridiculing him and whatever. So that is a very real thing that happens. I mean, you know, when I've seen things, I don't go tell them. I just kind of like know what happened and go on. And so now let me ask you this. Have you been out exploring with a Honey Island monster?
Yes. Yeah, we explore all the time. Well, actually, it was probably in 2004 that I really started taking my camera out there. I was, you know, making my documentary film because I met several other eyewitnesses in the area, and then I'd hear about another person that had a, so I'd take my camera and hopefully get an interview with them, and I spent a lot of time out in the swamp because we had a houseboat when I was young, but my dad also had a river camp along the edge of the Pearl River in the middle of Honey Island Swamp. So, and then at one time when I was married, my ex had a camp right next door to my dad's camp. So that's pretty much where I spent a lot of time when I came back. I had moved off to California for like 7 years in the 90s, but then I come back in 1997, and that's when I started exploring the swamp more, and because it had been years since I'd been out there, and I just started taking my camera too, and then wherever we would go at some point, I'd meet up with somebody that had some type of experience out there, encounter, and I'd try to get them to talk to me. Some of them would. Some of them didn't want to be on camera. They didn't want people to think they were crazy. So I have gone out there looking for evidence several, you know, many times actually. And anytime I'm out there, I'm always looking for something, you know, keep my eyes open. You know, we have found tracks out there. We've had dogs chase, like we were trailing something that was making loud screaming noises, like that would stand the hair on the back of your neck. And we followed them for a while in the dark till finally they lost the scent at the edge of the river. Because some people have swamp, you would expect it to be able to swim and adapt to the water, and that people have said they've seen them, and more than one. It's like there was a man who used to say he'd see them swimming in pairs, but this thing could swim. So obviously the dogs got to the water's edge and lost the scent. But we did find tracks in the area, and then I've had other experiences out there when we were camping out, and one of the camping trips, something was throwing like sticks towards the campsite and then hitting like sticks. You know how the people that study the Bigfoot and Sasquatches, they hear the tree knocking. Well, that was similar. It was like similar to what we were hearing in the area. And then like during the night, I knew I wasn't going to go to sleep because I had heard too many tales about that from other, you know, people that had encounters. So I wasn't going to close my eyes at night. So during the night, I heard something walking on 2 feet around, you know, if it was a hog or something or an animal that was rutting around, it just sounds different. But this was something walking and stepping. It was very scary to me. And we had put up a motion camera. The next day we found it looked like something hairy had kind of leaned over to, like, it snapped the top of something that was maybe trying to see what the camera was. And it was high up in the tree. The camera was way off the ground. And then another time I was at the camp. I had my daughter at the time. We were left there by the men left us to go hunting, coon hunting across the river. And so it was just her and I, and it's like the camp's on an island, and something come up behind that camp because the water was sort of high, it was high river at the time, and it hit the side of the camp a few times. and that kind of scared me half to death. But I swore that it had to be, you know, I would have thought it might have been that creature. But because they say he's kind of like, doesn't like people, like it will kind of circle you in the night, you know, if you have a camp out there, campfire. I had another eyewitness say that it come and unplugged the generator because the generator was making too much noise probably, and it didn't like it, so it would unplug the generator. And he went out there, and that's when he, to see why, he thought his generator was full of gas. And when he got out there, this thing was towering over it. And he ran back to his camp, and he said he looked out, and the thing got up in a tree, and it wouldn't leave. And he was shooting, he had a flare gun, so he shot the flare gun towards it, hoping to scare it away. And he said it didn't leave till like right at daylight. And then he said he left out of there, and he didn't go back to his camp for several years.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. Think the possibility that the Honey Island monster is a Bigfoot. What do you think that possibility, or does it exist?
Well, I think it's the way people have described that it looks, with the long hair, you know, it's not like reptile or anything, you know, because it's got the hair. And it looks very similar in the face and all the way my grandfather described it. It's almost part ape, but it was too close to human looking to be, you know, like he said more like orangutan, but the face was too close to being looking too manlike. And the way it stood upright and walked and ran actually away from him. But the hair, he said it had long hair that hung down, you know, from his around his. The face was sort of smooth, no hair, but around it, like the hair on its head would, and body was very long and dingy looking. So the only thing different that is the feet have the three-toed with the fourth dew claw, and they're webbed. They appear to be webbed. So that kind of throws it off as being, you know, like a primate. But then, so I don't know. It's just hard to say. Maybe because of it being in the swamp, it had to adapt with web feet, you know, web toes. And then the feet aren't as big as the typical Sasquatch or Bigfoot. This, I would say, it's the way they describe, people that have described it, it stood like about 7 foot. 6 to 7 foot, you know, tall. So, and it had the broad shoulders, long arms, sort of like ape-like. But when they described it, the way the face looked and everything, they said looked like it almost be part human, but it wasn't. So,
okay. Well, I tell you what. Yeah, let's ask Matt to ask you a question, and then Kyler to ask you a question.
Okay.
Hey, Dana, this is Matt. Wondering, have you seen David Shealy's skunk ape, his tracks and stuff? They're like a four-toed also. Have you seen any similarity?
I've seen other skunk ape tracks from, like, the Florida area, and I'm not sure if I saw his, but I've heard that you know, other areas that in the other swamps from around the, you know, different parts like Florida and Texas and different areas, they have very similar with the three toes and the maybe the little dew claw on the side, and they looked webbed. So,
and
it could be the same relation, you know, this thing they say could migrate to different, and all these swamps are kind of connected in a way. I mean, they're not,
right.
Not too far off. You could travel along, like this Honey Island swamp keeps going up to the Bogachita swamp, and then, you know, it's not far to get, you know, like if you go the other way, you're going to get to the Florida, you know, it's a different type of swamp, but the marsh and stuff, but, it could probably travel, go to, you know, all the rivers, through the rivers that connect to each other. And
I was going to ask, was it your father that had an encounter, hit it with a boat possibly?
Yeah, that was my dad. He was turkey hunting out there, and it was right at dark, and he was heading home, and then he hit something. He thought it was a log at first, and when he looked back, he saw it getting out of the river on the bank, and he said it stood up, and he thought it was a person, and then he yelled out, like, "Hey, you okay?" And it kept on walking towards the woods, and he said what it looked like to him was like it had a long trench coat on the way it was just, but it could have been the hair hanging, you know, and it kept walking. So he thought maybe he hit it in the head and it just wasn't right. So he turned the boat around to go over to the sandbank, and that's when he shined the light on the sand and he saw the tracks, and they were the same type of track that my grandfather had found. And he left. He said he got out of there. But
not a whole lot of people go out.
Huh?
Not a lot of people go out after dark down there, though, do they?
Yeah. No. When we have our camp, when we stay the night out there, now the guys will go, like, frogging at night. And, some people go just riding around and doing things out there. Who knows what? But, yeah, if you're raised out there and, you know, that's, a lot of people that's not from this area wouldn't probably like to be out there in the dark. unless you got a good, like some dry land and campfire that you could light up or stay in a camp or houseboat. But
right.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, can you tell us, this is Dr. John, and then we're going to ask Kyler to ask a question. Tell us where exactly is that Honey Island is really an island unto itself, right?
Well, Honey Island Swamp, like it's on the border of Mississippi and Louisiana. The Pearl River cuts through it, and it's about 7 miles long. No, wait. I'm getting mixed up. But it covers over 40,000, the wildlife management area is on the other side of the river, and I think that's like 37,000 acres of swamp that's protected by the wildlife management area. And then on the other side of the river is private land that's swamp land, and it goes for miles and miles. And it's one of the most primitive swamps in Louisiana, you know, really the country, but it's in the middle part, all of that's pretty much little islands. Now, the edge of it, you can get to some places, like along the interstate 59, you could get, there's an exit that you could drive into the Honey Island Swamp, and you go a little ways, and they have a shooting range down there where people go practice shooting guns and stuff, But you could actually drive in there, and then they got trails that leads off through there. But the rest of it, you have to get there by boat. We could launch. There's like 3 or 4 different launches boat launches, and then you go out there, and it's all little islands. And they got its name. Honey Island got its name because they used to have the bees. They have a lot of honeybees out there that would make honey.
Okay, great. That's a great answer. Kyler, what do you have to ask our guest tonight?
Well, I was trying to look it up and see if I could find any more info on this. And I was kind of just curious, like, is this an ongoing thing that people will just go out kind of to try and hunt and bring back as, like, a trophy? Or is this kind of just one of those things where it's like a famous story that they all kind of respect and just share with everyone?
But I'm sure there's some people that go in there and try to hunt it down, you know, looking for it. And I would hope they wouldn't shoot it unless they would absolutely have to for their life. But, you know, hopefully they wouldn't kill it if they did capture it or, you know, but the best to take a tranquilizer gun with you if you don't, you know. But a lot of people, it just became like a legend and people know about it, talk about it. And of course, like all the locale, they're tourists about the Honey Island Swamp Monster went on the tour, and But I'm still always looking, of course, because I would like to see it with my own two eyes, and I've seen evidence, but I've found evidence out there. But of course, if I saw it with my own two eyes, I'd probably have a heart attack. It might scare me half to death.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah, I just felt like, you know, it was my grandfather started, like, when he come forth and started, when he was brave enough to tell his story to someone, then I just felt like, you know, I wanted to continue his research, because I thought it was fascinating that there was more than one person. I mean, other people saw it, and I said, well, you know, then I would like to tell their story too. And then that's why I wrote the book, The Honey on the Swamp Monster Documentations, and then I made the documentary just to, you know, get other people's eyewitness encounters on. And because there's a lot, I didn't realize how many people were so interested in this, in it, you know, like all over the world. I get contacted from people in Australia and England, and I've even had people from Japan, you know, ask. So it's, you know, so no, it's, I wouldn't say it's like real famous all over the world, but if people are, you know, that are interested in cryptozoology are very interested in the Honey on the Swamp Monster story.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Absolutely, it does. And that's a very interesting story. Now, how young were you when you became interested in the Honey Island Swamp Monster? Were you like 12 years old, or were you 18?
Yeah.
Or, you know?
Well, growing up, I'd hear my grandfather talk to he. If we asked him about it, it wasn't like something he was always talking about. But I remember someone gave him a goat that he was going to use as bait. So the kids were playing with the goat all day in the yard, and then the next day he's loading his goat up, and we're like, where are you going? He had his camouflage on, and he got his camera and his gun, of course, in case he needed it. And he said he was taking the goat to the swamp, and he was going to tie him up, stake him out for bait. And, you know, we were horrified as kids, like, oh, my God, this swamp monster is going to eat the goat. And he was gone for the day with it, but he did come back later, and he was leading it back into the yard, and so he said that it must be a vegetarian or it's too smart, you know, because out in the swamp, I guess you could hear things coming for miles, and this thing, if it had a goat out there, he would probably be, you know, maybe wouldn't come closer, knowing that, you know, they say he's pretty smart, so he's like not going to take their bait. But we were happy to see the goat come back alive. But I was probably about 9 or 10 when he did that. But I remember him telling me, you know, just always be careful out there. You know, there is something. Because he knew we had the houseboat. My dad always took us out there on the weekends to the houseboat. And my grandfather, he used to just tell us, just be careful out there. Because, you know, remember what I came up on? I'm not so sure it's too friendly. So.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but as I got older, I didn't really think about it too much until I came back here, and I realized, and going out in the swamp with my brother and my dad and all, I realized, you know, talking to people that would bring up, you know, talk about the Honey on the Swamp Monster, and that's when I became more interested in starting to do more research about it, and then that's how I made the film and wrote my book.
Let me ask you this. This is Dr. John. I got one more question for you on this round. Do you have a lot of Bigfoot explorers, big people that are interested in Bigfoot, that are interested in the Honey Island Swamp Monster?
Yes, a whole lot. Mm-hmm. I get asked to be on a lot of the. I've been on a lot of the shows on the Travel Channel and Discovery that come to do. a story about the Honey Island Swamp Monster, and so I guess because I've been on those shows, other people from around that are interested, that study Bigfoot and Sasquatch and do research, I've met quite a few of them.
Okay, so that group is interested in the Honey Island Swamp Monster. Do you folks have any kind of a celebration or festival about the Honey Island Swamp Monster?
Well, I had planned to do something like that a few years back, but something came up. I don't know if it was a hurricane or something happened, but that year I couldn't do it. But I have talked to some people about putting together something like that in the future.
You know, Matt, I do a number of these, and Matt Delf works with me some. We'd be glad to talk with you about that offline if you'd be interested in doing that. So that we'll save that for later, okay?
Okay, that sounds good.
All right, good. All right, well, now next, you told us about a little bit about your granddad, and you told us about some of your adventures when you were young about the Honey Island Swamp Monster. Where do you see this thing going? I mean, do we have sightings of this thing on a regular basis, like every couple months someone sees it, or how does that
really
work out?
It hasn't. No, it's more like maybe once every couple of years I might get someone that tells me the story that they've had an encounter, and sometimes I don't necessarily like they might be just joking, but there's been several that I believe they were telling the truth, and the last one was probably about a year ago, and then there was another person that told me this really crazy story, and I haven't I don't know whether his story's true, and I haven't been able to, because I tried to get back in touch with him to find out if he was telling the truth, but he told me he was hunting up in a deer stand, and this thing was trying to come up the tree at him, and he said he shot it and it ran, and he said that he was going back to see if he could find it like track the blood trail, and I didn't hear from him since, because I said if you go back in there and the thing's still alive and you've heard it, it might hurt you. And then he wouldn't answer my call after that. So I don't know if he was telling the truth, or maybe he could have went in there and it got him. And I hadn't heard from him since. So, but his story was so he made it sound like it could be possible. But then, I don't know. He never come back and answered any more of my questions. And so I said, well, maybe he was just playing a practical joke, but that was the last, that was probably about that ago, but before that it was about a year or so ago when I heard other people, another person had had some an experience out there. So I wouldn't say it's all the time. It could be a few years might go by, and then I'll get a call or email or text message, or people message me on Facebook to tell me about something that happened out there. And so,
okay, Matt, your turn for a question.
All right. Of course, I went, I was in New Orleans the week of Christmas. I contacted you, I think it was back in November, but I didn't have enough time. I was wanting to go out to the swamp there. Now, isn't it where you cross, is it aren't you on Highway 10? Is that the one that crosses through from Mississippi to where you get off there?
It's 55 on 12. Let's see, 55 coming from Mississippi, or 59 from Mississippi, and it turns into 10. It turns into 10, and then 12 goes like you're going towards Baton Rouge and Hammond. And I think at some point it crosses back on the other side of the lake to back to the 10. But, yeah, so 10 is going across Lake Pontchartrain to New Orleans from Slidell.
Okay. Yeah, because I had crossed the river, and I couldn't remember if I was on 59 or 10, if I got to 10 yet or not. But you was talking, okay, of course, I do a lot of boots-on-the-ground research. I've been everywhere. But you know, one key thing, you said there's a wildlife reserve right next to this area. That,
yeah.
If you've ever noticed, all your sightings are always around these wildlife reserves. Has the government ever tried to hush stuff down? Tried to,
Well, you know, the test site, the government, NASA's on the other side of the, it's a buffer zone on the back side of the Honey Island Swamp, and the other side of that's where they test rockets, and they have a Stennis test site. And so some people used to think that maybe they made something out there in the labs or something, it got out and, you know, lives in the swamp there. But then they have, like, we have seen the Navy, heard that the Navy SEALs train out in the swamp too. But, yeah, so.
Yeah, I can tell you that my cousin's son actually did some training with the Coast Guard out there, and he said it was absolutely terrifying. He said they were just all so glad when that detail was over and they could get back to, I think they were in Kansas. He said that we were just so glad to get out of there. He said it was just dark, terrifying. Would you say that's a good description of what's out there?
Yeah, especially at night. If you're out there and the swamp comes alive, it seems like everything's like, it's very spooky. If the moon's full too, and you could just hear all kinds of stuff going on out there. And you could get turned around so easy in a swamp and get so lost if you don't know, you know, if you don't have a compass with you or something. Especially when the water's high and you don't have any, like, you can't tell where the main river and the sloughs are because the water's over the land and you're just kind of lost out there in the middle of nowhere. And I've known several people that got lost and had to be rescued out there because they didn't know how to find their way back to. And some of them will wander in circles, like they won't go very far, but they'll think they've wandered for days and they're in the same spot because they just keep going in circles. And so it could be scary, especially if a wild boar get after you or something. Now, that's happened to us as kids, and my dad had to put us all up in a tree. Wild boar were running through, and they got those razor-sharp tusks that could shred newspaper. That's scary. Then they've also have sightings where people said they've seen black panthers, which somebody has told me once that's really jaguars, because if they look black, but when the light hits them a certain way, you could see markings that would be more like a jaguar. So I don't know if that's true, but because some people say these black panthers, my dad used to tell us about, he'd see black panthers out there, big ones. So I don't know if it's really black panthers or jaguars, but they do have bobcats out there and lots of water moccasins like cottonmouth that are very deadly. And then the spiders are huge and hairy, and that scares me more than the snakes.
Now, I got another question.
Well,
okay. Usually in these areas, you got like high strangeness, like seeing this. Have you noticed any reports or anything of UFO, alien, strange lights?
Yes.
Stuff like that.
Yes, and I've actually had we've had experiences with that too. When we were, I was probably about 8 or 9, and we used to have another camp up further in Angie, Louisiana, which is probably an hour drive from this where I live now. And the camp was on the like close to the river, and we were all out there, and it was two families, and we were sitting out on the porch, and this thing that it looked like a blue light was shining down on the river a ways, and you couldn't hear no sound, really. It was just like light just shining from the sky straight down to the river. Then we watched it move up, and then it came over our camp where we were, and we could see the lights underneath it, and then it shot straight up in the air and disappeared. And we all saw it, so it wasn't like it was just one person. Like, we all saw it and still remember to this day that happened. And then my dad used to, him and his cousin used to go hunting out in the swamp when we were little, and he told, he called my mom one night, and when they got back to wherever they had a phone at that time, they didn't have cell phones back then, and he said, if I don't come back, you know, he said he had an experience. Him and my uncle both talked about this. I mean, it was his cousin. We called him Uncle Jeff because we were little kids, and we called our cousins uncle, but they both told us that this thing would follow, like it was like a big gold-shaped ball in the, like hovering over them, like it was following them. And he said they both sat squatted down by a tree because they figured it's not going to leave. And he said, like it was daylight, but then all of a sudden it was dark, and as if they lost time. And I said, y'all might have been abducted, and put on, you know, for a while. They might have studied y'all or whatever. But my dad told us, you know, I asked him about that last year before he's getting to where he, you know, his memory and all, because he's old, but he still would swear to that story. He said, and he would tell me, no, it was something. I've never seen anything like it. Uncle Jeff would talk about that too. They would describe it as this big gold shape, almost like a shape of a football object that followed them in the swamp. And then they both said time just left, for like they just sat down, thought, well, if it's going to get us, it's going to get us. And then time went by, and then anyway, so it could have been UFO. Maybe this thing is alien out there that everyone's thinking is, maybe this is some type of alien that got left behind. Who knows?
Wow.
So
that's very, very interesting. And Dana, and Kyler, do you have a question for Dana?
I think Kyler had to cut out.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Sorry,
yes, he had to take off early.
I wasn't watching the message board anyway. So Matt, do you have one more question for Dana?
So if the wildlife reserve, have all these encounters always happened around right there in the Honey Island, or they're mostly towards the wildlife reserve, or where are most of your sighting reports coming from? Which area? Do they stay concentrated, or are they kind of spread out throughout that whole area?
Well, they've been in different areas, but the only one I've heard that wasn't really in the middle of the swamp was what lady told me about one that it was more like where they had farms. It was a rural area, but it still connected close to the swamp. Was like whatever this was she saw could have come from the swamp because it wasn't too far away, but it was more like this thing crossed the road and it was going into the wood, you know, the woods that was near a farm, like maybe it was going after farm animals and stuff. But she saw it, you know, she was driving home one day and she said it crossed over the road, and then they had like a fence. It jumped over the fence and went into the woods, and she described it as what same type of thing my grandfather described.
So if I, because I plan on coming back there this spring sometime, would you be able to guide me or let me know a certain area to concentrate on then pretty much then?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. because I plan on coming back. So hopefully before it gets too hot, because I'd say it's really nasty down there in the summertime, especially with mosquitoes.
I tell you what, I've had some experience down there in Lake Charles in the summertime, and oh my God, it's hot down there. Right, Dana?
Yeah, well, so let's say that again. I didn't hear that part.
I said I've had some experience in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and it can get extremely hot in the summertime.
Yes, it can.
When does the water level raise? What time of year? Is it mostly during the, like, July and August?
It's been high recently, and it's coming down a little bit now, but in the spring it'll get high again. It just, I guess it just comes the locks. When they open the locks and stuff up, like in Jackson, we got to watch that when the water from Jackson come, when it's high there, of course it's got to come this way, but sometimes we worry about them opening the locks up to letting that water come on us. But I think sometimes in the spring it's high, and it was just recently was really high a couple of weeks ago here, but it is, the river is going down now, hopefully.
Well, do they have a particular time of year that you see the most sightings, like spring, winter, summer,
no,
fall?
Like, no particular time recently. I know my grandfather, most of the things he talked about was in the fall, like, I think it was more like in fall. A lot of those eyewitnesses that were out there hunting and or camping would talk about it being cool weather. Not cold, but like cool.
Kind of wondering if the water might bring them in closer to the mainland too, if it raises or...
Yeah, that's possible. Because when the river gets high up there, the water's all over all the land pretty much, all the swamp land. They have a few places that are higher ground, but... It would have to get up in the trees, probably.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, Dana, this has been very interesting, and I would definitely like for us to invite you back. Would you like to come back to be with us
sure.
on ScaryCast here? It's been super
yeah.
interesting. Maybe we can, Matt, if we could get Dana back in April, I think that would be wonderful to ask her more questions about the Honey Island Swamp. I mean, the Honey Island Monster is really, really interesting. It seems to be somewhat of a variant of Bigfoot, somewhat, and it seems mm-hmm. to be terrifying. Now, and I guess my last question is this, have there been any murders associated with the Honey Island Swamp Monster?
Not that I'm aware of. Other than, well, actually, I don't know that it would be murder. There has been people that's gone missing out there that, like old man Williams, Ted Williams, he was in that show In Search of My Grandfather, and he was the one who said he used to see him swimming in pairs, and he'd come up missing in the swamp, and they found his boat, but they didn't find him for a long... I thought they never did, but then his one of his grandkids got in touch with me not too many years ago and said that they did, she thought from just the stories that her grandparents, that they did find his body eventually, but they never said how he died. So I don't know if, I'm imagining she would have known because that was related to him, but for years a lot of people just thought they never found him. There was
right.
another man that came up missing that used to say, he actually, I had heard about him going missing when I first come back from California from another eyewitness, and he said he used to tell the guy, you get too close. Well, then about 5 years ago, I got contacted by, it was supposedly his great-grandson, and he told me the story, and he said that his grandpa come in one day and said he knew where its den was, and he was going back. He took his gun and left out of there, and he never come back, and they never found him. And I said, well, why didn't the authorities know it? But they said, well, because his grandmother and them didn't want people to think the grandpa was crazy. So they didn't really tell the authorities, you know, about him saying he was going to shoot the swamp monster. But and then also I'd heard that maybe back then they ran moonshine back there, and they didn't want people going and messing with their moonshine. So I don't know. This guy told me that, you know, his great grandmother had told him the story years ago that it was his grandpa that went in there to try. He was going to go shoot it and never came back. And then the other person that had told me about the man going missing before the grandson ever, that I even knew the grandson, he told me that guy went missing. So when the grandson told me that, I said, well, it must be true then. You know, if the grandson come up with this story. And then he said that he would take me to that place. He knew where it was. But then I tried to get back in touch with him. I don't know if he got in trouble and went to jail or something. I never could get in touch with him. And someone told me he might have went to jail, and I don't know. And that's why I couldn't get in touch with him anymore. But maybe if I could ever get in touch with him, I would like to know where this den was. His grandpa meant to shoot it. He said he was going to go shoot it. He never come back.
Well, I'll tell you what, it would be good for them to come back and be with us and talk about it. So, look, Dana, it's been a pleasure to have you, Dana Hollyfield, and the Honey Island Monster. And we've had Matt Delf and Kyler Smith with us. And coming up next on ScaryCast is the one and only Clyde Lewis in Ground Zero at 10 p.m. So just switch over there and click on it. It's going to be great paranormal and everything. So look, thanks everybody. Dana, we'd love to have you back in about a month. Matt, keep on doing what you're doing, and we'll see everyone next week on ScaryCast. Everybody say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Good night, everyone. Good night.
Bye.